Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. On March the 10th, 1959, the Tibetan uprising against Chinese occupation began. It led to the flight of the Dalai Lama and thousands of other Tibetans to India. Rebecca Kesby has been speaking to the man charged with organising the Tibetan defences in Lhasa during the uprising.
It's early morning on March the 10th, and Nawang Tungdup Narkid has been summoned to the Dalai Lama's residence at Norbalinka. Normally, it's a 30-minute bicycle ride, but today the road from Lhasa is blocked.
About 7 o'clock, I start from Lhasa to Norbalinka. I cannot ride bicycle. I have to walk. Many people are going to Norbalinka. Thousands of people. Everybody is just shouting. Chinese go back to China. You see, we don't need Chinese. Very much angry.
The people are protesting against the Chinese military presence in Tibet. Narkid is a member of the Dalai Lama's Leadership Council. The Dalai Lama's been invited by the Chinese to watch a play at their main base, but he's been asked to come alone without his bodyguard, and the Tibetans suspect it's a trap.
Everybody is worrying. Dalai Lama should not go to the military camp. They will kidnap him and take to China. Chinese will keep in prison. Everybody is loudly appealing to Dalai Lama, please don't go to Chinese camp. We are here. We like to protect you. Please.
The Dalai Lama appeals for calm, but deploys Narkid back to Lhasa to lead preparations for any attempt by the Chinese to crack down on the demonstrations there. When he gets to Lhasa, the atmosphere is tense and the streets are empty.
Not as normal. All shops closed and there's no any market. All closed.
With the help of the Tibetan police, they prepare defences for the military attack they now believe is inevitable. They try to build barricades, but they have few resources and rely on some unusual methods.
Barricades are made out of wool, sheep's wool.
Sheep's wool?
Yes, there's always sheep's wool, because the government, every year, there's the taxes to send the sheep's wool to Lhasa. Big. We put water, so then that blood cannot come in.
So you soak the wool in water, it makes it heavy and you can't move it. It's a barricade.
Yes. It really helped us very much. So those bulletin is not coming inside.
It's a barrier to the bullets too.
Yes. Yes, then I ordered people to cut the electricity pole, cut all the wires. That was really good, because after that there was no loudspeakers, Chinese broadcasting. Everybody want to fight. I was saying first, no, don't shoot, because wait until army in front of us, then we can fight. We like to fight with the face by face.
What kind of weapons did you have?
We just have knives, and also some have swords, also the axes and whatever. And people also has guns, not many people.
There was an uneasy standoff for several days. The Chinese occupying strategic buildings in the city, the protesters obeying the Dalai Lama's instructions for a peaceful protest. Meanwhile, he's been spirited over the border in secret to enjoy a warm Indian welcome. When news of the Dalai Lama's escape breaks on the 19th, the Chinese open fire and the Tibetan uprising begins in earnest.
Oh, everybody is very united. That gives each other so encouragement, so strong. And I always remember when they shell us in the early morning, just before sunrise, I saw from there how the Shell Medical Institute, people all shelled, no one escaped.
Everyone was killed?
Yes. And we lost many people there. And then no fear. Everybody is so brave.
Narkid was one of the many Tibetans who tried to escape and regroup across the border. That night, as he was crouching behind a building, hoping to sneak out of Lhasa under the watchful eyes of the Chinese, he sees something he's never been able to forget.
I saw in the corner women, about more than 30 women and with children, and they are hiding there.
Just then, a Chinese tank arrives, a spotlight on its roof, and it's fitted with machine guns.
Chinese tank with the light. So we saw over 30 women, and then Chinese tank close by them, they killed all those women. They killed all those women at the corner. They are hiding there. From the tank, they putting the, what's the machine gun?
Machine gun.
On top of the tank, they have machine gun. So sad, right now, I'm also coming my tears. And coming my tears right now, I remember them. We cannot do anything. We have to escape. So we hide. What can I do? I cannot do anything. You see? Anything.
How did watching that and seeing that affect you? And how did it shape how you felt about the Chinese?
I hate the Chinese. Wherever I saw Chinese, I don't like. I don't like to see even red colors. Because everywhere is red in China, you know. Yeah, at that time, to somewhere waiting, the red color, the or shirt or red color. I was saying, I'm sorry, I don't like to see red color.
The communist government in Beijing argued that the poor of Tibet were being suppressed by the backward Tibetan feudal system and needed to be liberated. But the Tibetans were fiercely independent and viewed the Chinese as occupiers, a threat to their culture and religion. But in the years following the uprising, Narkid found keeping true to his religion difficult.
I was a monk at that time. Principle of the Buddhism is kindness to all living beings, just like a mother to children.
But you were struggling with that for years after what you'd seen in the uprising.
Yes, yes, several years. But finally, in the early morning, the dawn time, I dropped my burden.
It was 25 years before Narkid was able to feel at peace with Buddhism again. He was meditating at a temple in Varanasi, India.
In the Varanasi, there's a Buddhist temple, Chinese Buddhist temple. I never go to there. And also there's a Chinese restaurant. I never go to there. All boycott, not wearing Chinese anything. And even when I saw Chinese, I'm just, my attitude is very bad. I want to fight them, hit them. So that morning I realized it, Abdul Dalai Lama's teaching, and on purposely went to a Chinese restaurant, and there was one mother, and I told her my story. Then she was, with her tear, she was telling her parents killed by the communist Chinese punishment. So then she was crying. With tear, I'm with tear, we hug each other. Then since then, I'm so free, really. Now I like Chinese. I have Chinese friends.
Professor Narwang Tungdup Narkid went on to become the Minister of Foreign Affairs for the Tibetan government in exile and the Dalai Lama's official biographer. At the age of 86, he still travels the world teaching and giving lectures, and he plans to continue until he's 100.
Rebecca Casby. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.